the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right. Checking in at
number five.
Good morning, America. Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson doubled down on the theory that Jussie Smollett staged his own assault.
So we had gathered up a lot of evidence and facts before then, but what changed was that they then became cooperating witnesses.
It was there a reason why they became in the 47th hour that they decided to do that?
Well, you know, we worked very closely with their lawyer, and their lawyer went in there and talked to him, and whatever she said to him apparently got through to him to just tell the truth about what happened, and that's what they decided to do.
You see, Robin Roberts was like, were you beating them? Really, what was going on there? That's almost the implication of her question. Was there something in that 47th hour that you stopped doing to them to get them to?
Something we need to know, given what she's heard.
But that's what they did. They sweated him, essentially. They put him, you know, they had 48 hours that they could hold him. They had to give him up after 48 hours. And it was, you know, finally it was like, all right, you guys, because you guys are going to go to jail. He's going to turn on you and send you to jail. Or you're going to send him to jail.
So it's pretty simple, your choice here.
Yeah. He also said this, though.
So right now, as I said, he still has the presumption of innocence, and he'll get his opportunity in court if he chooses to go that route. And again, you know, I was very acutely aware of the situation in terms of the Chicago Police Department declaring he was a suspect. But I can tell you this, Rob, there's a lot more evidence that hasn't been presented yet that does not support the version that he gave.
That was the sort of news break there that he broke news when he said that. Because it seemed like we've gotten a lot of information about the crime, the way they've laid it out in very great detail.
Well, about
more
that,
so than you see.
There may be more evidence that shows up what they've already said.
Right.
We have phone records, they have video, they got other things.
Actual evidence. And I like how you said we treated him as a victim until we had concrete evidence to prove otherwise.
Right. So. I don't think Chicago Police did anything wrong in this case.
Don't either.
And I think that Jussie Smollett has really few options left.
How about it?
All right. Checking in at
number four.
Speaking of winnowing options, R. Kelly plea was entered in court today of not guilty in these charges of sex abuse against teenage girls. But Michael Avenatti is in town and representing some of the accusers and says that it's time for Kelly to face the music.
This man deserves to be locked up for the rest of his life. And the fact of the matter is, and I'm going to call it like I see it, had these victims not been black, and had they not come from, in many cases, disadvantaged households or households of a lower socioeconomic status, this guy would not be walking free today. Those days, however, are over.
Steve Greenberg is the attorney for R. Kelly, and he says that he has no reason to believe any of these accusations.
So here we deal with police, we deal with prosecutors, we deal with judges, we deal with juries. If someone wants to inflict, you know, a slow bleed or whatever they are, promote themselves, I can't do anything about that. You know, we have ethical rules here in Illinois. I'm a licensed attorney in Illinois. I'm constrained by the ethical rules from saying what I might want to say. Other people come in here, they're not constrained by our ethical rules, they're not lawyers here, they have no part in this process, they're not the police, they're not the prosecutor. If they think they've got evidence, turn it over.
Alrighty, Steve Greenberg and Avenatti are sparring back and forth, trading insults.
Hey guys, and just to let you know, R. Kelly has just walked out of jail.
Oh, just going to ask that.
Did he get into that big, it's like a big sprinter van that he arrived in that had speakers everywhere?
Not sure about that.
That was the worst arrival ever to show up at jail. You don't want to show up in a sprinter van with a whole entourage and people pouring out like you're just like you're arriving at a club.
Yeah.
That is not the look you're going for there.
Doesn't look as like you're taking everything as seriously as you should.
And then to go, hey, we don't have any money. We can't afford to post bail because I'm broke. And that must have been news to the guy driving the sprinter van, I'll tell you that.
Right? He's like, am I going to get paid?
Right. The guy's like, hey, wait a second. Hey.
Wait.
What do you mean you're broke? You know, this is $1,500 an hour, the sprinter van. All right. We continue on the top five of five.
Number three.
Taylor Swift helped give one of her biggest fans the engagement party of a lifetime when she made a surprise appearance to serenade his fiance with an acoustic version of King of My Heart. Alexander Goldschmidt is 30. He's been a Swiftie. Is that what they call him?
Mm-hmm.
He's been a Swiftie for years, so when he popped the question to his boyfriend, Ross Gerard, he knew an appearance from the singer, 29 years old now, would be the perfect way to begin the rest of their lives together.
There is one secret that I didn't trust any of you with.
You're pregnant.
And so I would like to welcome, and if you would give a warm welcome, to my friend Taylor.
Yay.
Okay,
isn't
now,
that sweet?
It's very sweet.
Isn't it? She's so good to her fans.
Country music has changed, like the Oscars. I really could not imagine Merle Haggard showing up at a gay engagement and singing.
She's crossover, too. She's not just country anymore. But that, I think that was... you've seen these stories of, that she does it. She'll go to a hospital bed for a super fan or a young kid who just like wants, just loves her.
And very nice.
Or she's floated money in the Me Too movement to other women who were fighting issues that they couldn't afford. Give her some credit.
All right. She gets the credit.
Number two.
He gets the credit, too. Spike Lee.
Yeah.
Was unimpressed that his critically acclaimed film Black Klansman lost out to Peter Farrelly's Green Book. Backstage after the Oscars, he was pretty vocal about it.
Hi.
Yes, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good.
I just wanted to ask you, we saw a little bit of a reaction to the Green Book win. Can you give us your thoughts on that Best Picture win?
Let me take another sip. Next question.
We're going to come down here.
Oh, wait
then.
A minute. What reaction did you see? What did I do? No, I thought it was court side of the garden. The ref made a bad call.
We'll move over here.
Court side.
95.
The world's most famous arena, Madison Square Garden. Knicks coming back next year.
Anything but talk about it. You said a lot with not saying anything.
Yeah. Yeah. He did win the Oscar for screenplay for Black
Klansman. Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't win the big... those are all... Everything in that had a chance. It was, as Richard Rohrbrill will tell us at 6 o'clock, it was the most wide-open Oscars of all time.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
And I just kind of thought the Green Book was the one that was going it's the most traditionally kind of Hollywood-ish kind of movie,
yeah,
in terms of very glossy, beautiful, big budget, great acting.
Mm-hmm. Spike Lee said, every time somebody's driving somebody, I lose because Do the Right Thing lost to Driving Miss Daisy.
Right. That is true. That is true. But he got his first competitive Oscar last night, and that means everything.
That's huge.
For him. And
well deserved.
And Black Klansman, I enjoy Black Klansman more than I did Green Book. That's true.
I enjoy his body of work. I haven't seen Black Klansman yet, but I want to now.
Oh, Black Klansman!
It was
amazing.
Really good. You
oh,
got to see this.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Green Book though.
Yeah, they're both great, but Black Klansman is a very special movie. First of all, they're kind of both based on a true story. I think Black Klansman is a little closer to the true story than Green Book, maybe.
Hmm.
But we're all very interesting. And Mahershala Ali can do no wrong.
Oh, the best.
Mahershala Ali has been on the scene for 7 years maybe now?
Feels like it.
Right?
He's just great in everything.
House of Cards, where he sort of sprung to prominence. Mm-hmm. And then now he's at the Oscars and he just wins. He's a guy you do not want to be running against under any circumstances.
You do not want to be in his category.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Mahershala is actually short for his real last name, or his real first name, by the way. Look it up.
That's how he shortened
it. It's like three more syllables.
Okay. Hey, I'll tell you, you know what's interesting, though, is that as many people were thinking Black Panther was going to run away with stuff, it did in some of the technical awards, like costume,
mm-hmm,
right? Which Richard Roper predicted was going to happen because he had to make up costumes like whole cloth, like they did for Star Wars and stuff. What would people have actually been, dressed in a made-up world? So, and it was so big and bold and all
mm-hmm
that. So it was very... it was not based on anything in history like The Favorite and, things like that. But, again, there was a little something for everybody last night.
Yeah.
Unless you were a corpulent old white studio executive. Then you got nothing out of it.
You weren't happy.
No.
No. You were not.
where are all the white men at? I mean, that was honest to God. It was like that.
I got the answer everywhere.
Right.
Right.
Oscar's so not white.
Yeah, exactly. Right. It's like, actually, Oscar's no white is what it was last night. It was like, I don't know. They're not going to show up. And again, they almost tackled the guy, the head of the academy, because he was an unescorted white man walking on the stage.
It's like, where's the person with you? I mean, why? How are you allowed up there by yourself?
That was very weird, though. The one thing, it was so surprising. Aquafina, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Who's wearing that rose-colored monochromatic suit.
And John Mulaney, who's from Chicago, who's got this huge stand-up career going right now. He used to be a writer at Saturday Night Live, and then he decided to go on stage and do this stuff, and he's really, really good. But he's an overnight sensation, and so is she to some degree, although she was in Crazy Rich Asians. It is fascinating how quickly that can happen.
Yes.
You go from being barely known to 2 years later, you're giving away an Oscar.
Well, I was thinking about that with Jennifer Lopez, because remember, she wasn't even really in movies, and she showed up in that dress when she was 24, and that green, was it Versace?
Yeah.
And she just owns the red carpet no matter what she's wearing, but suddenly everybody was talking about her. Or you think about Liz Hurley, right?
Yeah.
Making an entrance and not even winning, just sort of being
just
there,
being
making
there, right?
Some sort of a presence.
I just A-Rod looking like in an accessory all of last night.
See, look, he looks, a very fine looking accessory.
A-Rod has turned into a handbag overnight.
He's very accomplished.
And well, finally,
number one.
Okay, we've heard and seen a lot of mic'd up players over the years, right? They put a microphone on football players and basketball players, baseball players, to get a sense of what they're talking about.
I like that.
But now, how about a 4-year-old hockey player, Mason Rupke?
This is going to be good.
His dad was curious about what his son thought it was like to be out on the ice as he's, learning to play the game of hockey, the great game of hockey. So, what happens when a 4-year-old gets tired on the ice?
Does Zamboni come on?
What's that, Mason?
Is the Zamboni coming on?
Yeah, is everyone here come on?
Why?
We'll play a little practice?
Yeah.
I'll be goalie, okay?
Okay. Am I a good scorer? Oh, yeah, I am. Okay, you garbage. Yay, I scored, Daddy! Dad, I love you so much.
Thanks, I love you too, Mason.
My legs are tired.
Aw, poor little
so
guy.
Cute.
He wanted
so
adorable.
He also wanted to go to McDonald's at one moment. He was like, he was so tired. Am I going to McDonald's after this?
Hey, hockey's rough, You get tired.
If only the Hawks had gone to McDonald's on Friday or Sunday night, I'd have been a happier man. Separate issue!
Totally separate.
And when you're little, trying to skate in all those ruts that people create, it's hard.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You cannot skate out of them.
That's why the Zamboni had to come out. All right, goodbye now.
The top five at five.